you have your Bible tonight, I want you to turn with us to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 5. We had thought we'd be preaching along these lines last week, and God had other plans, and we went back and studied even more, and scrapped a whole lot of what we were going to do, kind of changed it a whole lot to something different. Maybe that's what he's wanting done the whole time. What about that? 1 Kings chapter 5, I will say, Sunday night, I tell you, I didn't say nothing to nobody, but when I got up here to preach, I was sick as a dog. I was in off shape. I was sick. Run temperature, stomach hurting, I was in bad shape. Didn't tell nobody, because I thought I'd just try to cowboy up, just ask the Lord to touch me and get through it. And honest, I had not Joseph in a pit, but I had him in a coat. I said, put Joseph in a coat. I couldn't think. Honest, I was struggling. And if you ever doubt that it's God doing it, get up here and try it. And when he takes over, you know it's him. Because when he shifted gears on that thing, I knew it was going to be all right. I struggled, boy, I struggled bad. And you don't know, after I went home, as much pain as my stomach was having Sunday night, I was hurting in my soul because I wanted to do so much better in preaching the message that he had me to preach Sunday night. And it was to apologize to him, But sometimes, you know, you're just sick. And I just struggled to get through it. So y'all pray for me. And we had a good week other than that. 1 Kings chapter 5. We want to see in this very first verse some ambassadors. Look with me in 1 Kings chapter 5. And Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants unto Solomon, for he had heard that they had anointed him king in the room of his father, for Hiram was ever a lover of David. So in this verse, we see some ambassadors being sent from Tyre. And there's a region that connects with them called Sidon. And you're very familiar with the regions of Tyre and Sidon in the New Testament. There was a woman that came out of that region there that, boy, God just touched in a mighty way. And there's some folks that, this is the seacoast area there of Tyre and Sidon. Some of the area up next to Lebanon is where this area is. And they've got a king by the name of Hiram. And Hiram was a good friend, an ally of King David. But King David is no longer on the throne. Now it's been turned over to his son, King Solomon. And Hiram has come down to pay respects, not necessarily to Solomon, but to David. And in doing so, paying respects to the father, you're going to try to pay respect to the son while you're there. And he does just that upon his ascension to the throne. And he's also, while he's there, wanting to renew his alliance. He's wanting to make sure, Solomon, are we okay? That same alliance that we've always had, the same peace that we've always had, is that going to continue? Is that going to change? And so he sent ambassadors go and talk to King Solomon. And while he was there, sending his ambassadors in, we notice in verses 2 through 6 that Solomon begins to ask for some assistance. Now imagine that, this famous king, this rich king, this all-wise king, this man of God actually asked for help. Imagine that. Some of us wouldn't ask for help if our life was hanging in the balance. You'd bust before you'd ask somebody to help you because of your pride or whatever your reason is. And God wants us to call on Him and ask Him to help us. He wants us to ask Him. And it like kills some people to ask Him for help. And then he's got him to, Solomon's going to ask some earthly folks for help. Read this here. Solomon sent to Hiram, that king of Tyre, saying, "Thou knowest how that David my father could not build a house under the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God hath given me rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. And behold, I propose to build an house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, Thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build an house unto my name. So we see that he begins to ask for assistance, and he says in verse 6, Now therefore command thou that they hew me cedar trees out of Lebanon, and my servants shall be with thy servants, and unto thee will I give hire for thy servants, according to all that thou shalt appoint, for thou knowest that there is not among us any that can skill to hew timber like unto the Tyre and Sidon. You looked at it and said it just says Tyre. He's adding to the Word of God. Well, there's the Sidonians right there, okay? He's king over the entire area. And so Solomon begins to ask for help. He says, My father David wanted to build a house for God, but because David was a warlike man and a shedder of blood, God would not permit him to build his house. And he said that his son, which would run in his stead, would build the house for God. Solomon said, I long to do this because it's been my father's burden that he's placed upon my heart as well. And I want to do this for the glory of God. And I can't do it alone. I'm going to ask for your help. And if you would help me, because y'all are the best hewers of wood there is, if you would help me, I would send my servants to work with your servants, and I would pay you, he says, that he would give hire for thy servants according to all that thou shalt appoint. So he's asking Hiram for help in building the house of God. And I started thinking about construction. And then I got to thinking about, before we can begin to build in construction, there's got to be a contract or a contractor. And before we can get a contract or a contractor, we'd better have a concept. I learned all that right here. You better have a plan. There needs to be some blueprints. There needs to be a concept. And God has given David the concept for his house. Although God did not permit David to build his house, He did give him the concept. Now, if you would turn with me over here to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 21, I want you to see something here under the concept that God has given David about the house of God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, David has committed a major sin in 1 Chronicles 21. He's numbered the people of God. And he wasn't supposed to do that. And in verse number 18 of this chapter, the Bible says, Then the angel of the Lord, which I believe is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord commanded Gad, that's the man of God, the prophet, Gad, to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. He's supposed to go up to Ornan's place, the Jebusite, an altar there. Best I can study out, Ornan lives up on the ridgetop of Mount Moriah. That's where Ornan lives. And God said, I want you to go there and offer to me a sacrifice and build an altar there on that threshing floor. You know what a threshing floor is? That's where they separate the wheat from the chaff on the top of the hill. And it's owned by Ornan. Read on. And David, we remember this, studying this back in Samuel. David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David, and went out of the threshing floor, bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. In other words, David made a great sin. He said, I want to buy this piece of property. And Ornan said unto David, Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all. Ornan said, You can have it, David. I'm just going to give you the property. I'm going to give you the sacrifice. King David said unto Ornan, Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine, for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. In other words, I can't take your offering and offer it to the Lord. It wouldn't be mine. That would be your offering. If I'm going to make an offering to the Lord because I love Him, it's going to cost me something. Say amen there. If you're going to give to the Lord, it's going to cost you something. Hey, when God gives to you, it costs Him something. It cost Him all He had when He sent His Son, when He gave to us. So David said, I'm not going to do it without cost. So David gave the ornan for the place, 600 shekels of gold by weight. David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And he called upon the Lord, and He answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. Do you realize that this angel of the Lord had his sword drawn out over the city of Jerusalem when David sinned such a sin? He was going to judge the whole city. David had seen that and fell on his face. And the man of God said, you need to go up to Ornan by that place upon Mount Moriah. Can I remind you what's on Mount Moriah? If you would look with me, that would be the place that Jesus Christ Himself, just down that ridge, would give His life on Golgotha. It's on the ridge called Mount Moriah. It's an interesting place. I think it's just down from that. It might be up, but I believe it's just down from that. That's where the temple was built. When David bought this property, he from Ornan, he's buying it because the angel of the Lord told him to buy it. David's not doing this on his own. God's Son, the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus, said, I want you to buy that property. And that property is going to be where the house of God will be built. You're looking at me funny. I like it when you look at me funny. Go over here to 2 Chronicles, chapter 3. I don't know if we're going over new material or if you're just wanting to soak it up. I know you're looking at me funny saying, preacher, I don't know now. How do you know? 2 Chronicles, chapter 3, verse 1. Are you with me? Nod your head if you are. We'll be here a while if you don't get this tonight. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Does that clear it up? David bought that property at the instruction of, I believe it was Jesus Himself, the angel of the Lord. And so David has the concept of building the house of God because God's already appointed the place and David's purchased the land where the house of God will be built on Mount Moriah. Well, that's good stuff, ain't it? That excited me to learn all this. Now, turn back with me to chapter 28. First Chronicles chapter 28. We're still under the concept phase here. He's purchased the land. But God will not permit David to build. Even though he's purchased the land, God said, you can't build it because you've not been a man of peace. You've been a man of war. You've shed blood. Look with me in chapter 28 of 1 Chronicles, verse 2 and 3. Then David, he's very old, the king stood up on his feet and said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Now what about that? He's purchased the land, but he's not permitted to build. So God, what will you let me do? Well, look in verse 19. God said, I tell you what I'm going to do, David. I'm going to give you the plans for the house that's going to be built. This house of the Lord that David is going to be working on in concept here and passing on to his son is going to not be drawn up by David's architects. It's going to be drawn up by the Lord Himself.
You see, if He appoints the place, He'll appoint the plan. Watch with me in verse number 19. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by His hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. The whole house was patterned out by the mind of God given to David. David drew it all out as God laid it on his heart and said, this is what I want built. You're not allowed to build it, but this is the plan. God, what can I do? Chapter 29. He allows him to prepare for the building of the house. Verse 2. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. I wonder, Bethel, have we prepared with all our might? That's what I thought. Let it be said that nobody, not even a preacher, said, amen. David said, now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. The gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection... He's what? He said, I have set my affection to the house of my God. I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. David loved the house of God. Look around. I hope you do. It's God's house. It's not where He lives. It's where He meets with us. I know He goes with you everywhere, but there's just something special about the house of God. It's the meeting house. It's where we can meet with Him and have fellowship with Him. Well, David was allowed to purchase the land, but he was not allowed to, permitted to build on the land. But God gave him the plans for the house of God, and God's allowed him to prepare and lay up all kind of material that they're going to build with. Now, it wasn't all of the material to build with. Otherwise, Solomon wouldn't be down there talking to Hiram about getting fir trees and cedar trees brought back up out of Lebanon. Are you with me? Now, look with me in verse 10. I'm still working on the concept. I might be on concept all night. Verse 10. I hope you're getting the concept here. Let's read verse 9 too. David's talking. He said, and thou Solomon, my son, chapter 28, thou Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, chapter 28, verse 9, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Hey, Bethel, let me let you in on a little secret. God said it's time to add on to the house of God. Back there a few years ago, He said He chose us to do this for Him. How dare we say no? How dare we argue or fight against Him? As far as I know, everybody said, hear, hear, yay, yay, let's go, praise God. Got in this building, dedicated to the glory of God. Be strong and do it, He says. And 15 months later, He saved 100. He chose us to build this place for His glory. We ought to work hard to maintain it. Man, we ought to make sure it's a spectacle. It ought to be the best of the best in our community.
"This is the house of God." And I guarantee you, David said, "Only the best will do for my God's house. He's been too good to me for me to bring second-rate or third-rate material in there. I'm going to go all out for God. I'm going to do it the best." Listen, I get criticized in this community all the time. And to tell you the truth, you do too. For coming to this church, you get criticized all the time. How they do that down? Let me tell you something. I'll tell you how they do it down at Bethel. God's doing it. And we just let Him. He told Solomon, "Be strong and do it." Not up for a vote. He just say, "Yes, Lord." Boy, I'll tell you what. When I get to thinking about the fact that He chose us for salvation, He chose me. I didn't choose. He chose me. And He chose us to share the gospel. I just want to sit down and cry a while. And then He says, "I've chose you to build my house." Going to God, church, that all excited. I didn't build it. We worked together under the hand of God. It was God who gave the concept. It was God who gave us the land. It was God who gave the plan. It was God who gave the permission. It's been God. It'll always be God. Well, He's give these plans to Solomon. Verse 11, then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch. He handed him personally the blueprint that God gave him. Put it in his hand and said, "Be careful and carry her out." David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat. Hey, did y'all know something? Come here, listen. Underneath this altar is white stones that we put in here. Remember that service over yonder that they had back at the gym at the Austin Center? We took them white stones and dedicated them to the glory of God and prayed over our loved ones and over folks we didn't even know. God, would you save them right here in this altar? We come over here when they're ready to pour the concrete for the altar section. It's coming right down this way. I come in here and said, "Boys, you need to stop work for just a second. We've got some gravel, we need some rocks we need to put under here, some stones." The boys looked at me and said, "There's already stones under there. We've already covered up with plastic. We're ready to go." I said, "No, you ain't. You think you are, you ain't." I pulled that plastic back. I got down on my face right here, right in this very space. We put them stones out there and began to pray over them. Them construction workers and concrete pourers were taking their hats off and standing there putting them over their heart. They didn't know what in the world was going on. We just had a time of separation, just me and the Lord. We got done, pulled that plastic over them and said, "God, you know, we've committed them into your trust." They looked at me and said, "Preacher, I've been in a lot of construction sites, but I ain't never seen nothing like that before." Hey, you know, they've been a lot of construction sites before, but they've never seen a concept like the house of God before. Hey, man, it's a little different than anything else. I want to tell you what, right in this very space where y'all stones are laying, God has saved 100. If that don't make you want to say, "Whoopsie! That's one of them stones I prayed over. Didn't even know who he was." If that don't put a shout in your soul and a spring in your step, your blessers broke. Bible says in verse 12, "And the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of dedicated things." Boy, and it goes on and on. Well, do you get the concept? The concept was God designed it. God's worked it all out. Let's get to the contract now. Let's go back here to 2 Chronicles chapter 2. We read it there and you're hearing a minute ago how that David had asked for some assistance from Hiram. Let's read about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse number 3. Hiram has come to pay his respects. And Solomon, verse 3, sent to Hiram the king of Tyre, saying, "As thou didst deal with David my father and didst send him cedars to build and him a house to dwell therein, even so deal with me. Behold, I build a house to the name
of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to Him, to burn before Him sweet incense and for the continual showbread, and for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbath and on the new moons and on the solemn feast of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build Him a house, seeing the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain Him? Who am I then that I should build Him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before Him? Send me now therefore a man cunning to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in iron and purple and crimson and blue, and that can skill to grave with the cunning men that are with me in Judah and in Jerusalem, whom David my father did provide. Send me also cedar trees, fir trees, and algum trees out of Lebanon. For I know that thy servants can skill to cut timber in Lebanon. And behold, my servants shall be with thy servants, even to prepare me timber in abundance. For the house which I am about to build shall be wonderful great. You see, there wasn't any greater material to build with than those cedars and fir trees out of Lebanon. They're known for their sturdiness and for their strength and for their durability. And behold, I will give to thy servants, here's the contract, I will give to thy servants, the hewers that cut timber, 20,000 measures of beaten wheat and 20,000 measures of barley, 20,000 baths of wine and 20,000 baths of oil. Those are measurements. I looked those up. It seems to be about 13 million pounds of food-like material, that 13 million pounds worth that he's going to send to Tyre and Sidon. They had an economy that couldn't support itself in Tyre and Sidon. So God just supernaturally brought people together to take care of the folks from Tyre and also to be able to build a house for the Lord God. Go back with me to 1 Kings chapter 5, where we were reading there a minute ago. We see the contract. Do you understand something about Lebanon? Can I share this with you? God, when Israel crossed into the Promised Land, are you with me? And they came into the Promised Land there at Jericho. God told Joshua, this is how much I give you. And He told him all the borders thereof. And you know how much, what percentage they claimed of what God gave them? 10%. 90% of it they didn't claim. I'm persuaded that these people sitting on these church pews, that He's give you 100% of heaven's best and you only claim about 10%. That ought to make you, a 10% ought to make you happy, but the 90% you're missing ought to make you, ooh, what could we be for the glory of God if we just claim the promises and believe them? So, guess where part of that area that was unclaimed? Lebanon, where the wood is. God already gave that to them, but they wouldn't claim it. Ain't that something? So guess what? That wood that Solomon's having the contract for, it already belongs to him. He just didn't even know it yet. In God's mind, that all belonged to Israel, anyhow, anyway. Hey, you realize God's give us the best, even if we don't claim it. In God's mind, it's ours to have. Ain't God good? Well, we see the contract. He says, I'll fuel work and hew timber and bring fir trees and cedar trees. I'll give you wages and 13 million pounds of food that we're going to send your direction. Well, Solomon's asking for help. Your boys are more skilled than mine are. You sure could help us. Now, come here. Come here. I'll let you on a little secret. Them folks that live in Tyre and Sidon, they ain't Jews. David's a Jew. Solomon's a Jew. Boy, these that build a temple, I mean the Pharisees make a big deal because it's about the Jews. But guess who's going to come help build it? David gave the plans to Solomon. And Solomon went out to the Gentiles and they began to help the Jews build the temple of God. I get to thinking about the church. Those Jews that believe in Jesus are accepted just like the Gentiles that believe in Jesus. He just made us one. Ain't that something? Boy, I'd tear some of them Jews out of the frame. They don't like that part. What about that? So now he's contracted for some Gentile help, and there ain't nobody bucking him. They're all for it. Well, let's go on. Thirdly, we've seen first of all the ambassadors. Second of all, we see him asking for assistance. We see a concept. We see a contract. Let's see, thirdly, the arrangements. Well, preacher, I've heard the arrangements. No, Hiram's going to hear it now. Verse number 7 of 1 Kings 5. Came to pass when Hiram heard the words of Solomon that he rejoiced greatly. And he said, "Blessed is the Lord this day, which hath given unto David a wise son over this great people." And Hiram sent to Solomon saying, "I have considered the..." See, you can have a contract and present it all you want, but until the other party signs it, it ain't no good. Jesus said, "My blood can save you from a multitude of your sins and cleanse you. But unless you claim that, don't do you no good." So Hiram's got a contract offered to him, and he sent to Solomon and said, "I've considered the things which thou sendest to me for, and I will do all thy desire concerning timber of cedar and concerning timber of fir. My servant shall bring them down from Lebanon unto the sea, and I will convey them by sea in floats unto the place which that thou shalt appoint me." I read over there in 2 Chronicles, they sent them to a place called Joppa. You remember Joppa? That's where Jonah run to and jumped on a boat going the wrong direction. Down there in Joppa. You remember down there in Joppa? You remember this? When we studied the book of Acts, it was in Joppa that Peter was on top of the house praying, and these Gentiles come down there and said, "We're looking for one named Simon Peter. He's in the tanner's house down there at Joppa." And Peter's up there praying, and God let down that great sheet and trying to show him what God has cleansed. "Call thou not uncommon," or "call thou not dirty," or "don't call it unclean." And he's trying to bring aboard the Gentiles. And Peter was a Jew, and he's trying to understand this. And he's looking at it, and about that time, he said, vision said, "There's some men looking for you." He comes down and says, "What y'all want? Cornelius has had a vision. You're supposed to go and preach to us." And guess what? The message went to the Gentiles right there. It happened at Joppa. Ain't that amazing? Well, guess where the wood's going to be delivered to? To Joppa. That's in 2 Chronicles 2:16. If you get home, want to look it up. We'll go on. And so he proposes, "I'm going to cut the trees." These are not cavemen. No. He said, "I'm going to cut the trees, and we're going to float them down the river by something." Man, can you imagine what must they have had back then? To float big old cedar and fir trees down the ocean. Just right down. That'd be difficult. I mean, you can't even get a watercraft hardly to go straight on the ocean. And they're going to take timber right down there and float it right to Joppa. And they're going to pick it up and take it to Jerusalem. Oh, God, they're smart. God's blessing them. Give them a vision and a purpose. That's going to be some hard work. You better roll up your sleeves. All right, watch here. So we see the arrangement. He agrees to this. He says, I'm going to agree to this. And thou shalt receive them, end of verse 9, "and thou shalt accomplish my desire in giving food for my household." In other words, I accept your contract offer for your payment of 13 million pounds of food. And interestingly enough, we see the activity. They've somehow signed on the dotted line. And the activity, fourthly, so Hiram gave Solomon cedar trees and fir trees according to all his desire. They've agreed on the arrangements, the details are proposed and all worked out, and they begin to supply wood, they begin to supply labor, and Israel's going to start giving food. Verse 11, Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 measures of wheat for food to his household and 20 measures of pure oil. Thus gave Solomon to Hiram year by year. This wasn't 13 million just one time. It was the whole 13 million pounds. This was the whole time they're building the house of God year by year. And for all I know, after it was built, as long as Solomon lived, he may have continued to supply them for their work and their effort. Can I say something to you tonight? Solomon is the type of Jesus here.
We're working in His house and we're laying up. He said, I want you to go to work. I want you to bring in people. I want you to go out in the highways and the hedges and compel them to come into my house. Maybe four. Go ahead and get them. Bring them in. I tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to bless you with 13 million pounds worth of blessings year after year continually as long as you live. I'm going to take care of you. You just serve me. Did you get that? You ain't got to cut wood. You ain't got to sell it down the sea. All you've got to do for King Jesus is just serve Him. He said, and I'll take care of you. Whoopee! Hallelujah to God for that. I appreciate those arrangements. Hallelujah. And you know what? 13 million pounds of blessing from heaven. I couldn't possibly measure that. I don't even know if my 13 million's right. So what does that mean to you? I've got all that heaven can afford at your, just right at your hands. Right at the tip of your tongue. It's available to you. How much of your 13 million pounds have you used this year?
Oh, about 2.3 pounds maybe.
Tell you what, y'all. We've got all this available, but we don't do anything with it. Because we don't want to work. That's the way America is. We want to sit at the house and have the government send us a check. We do the same thing on God. Hello, I'm preaching now. You do the same thing on God. You just sit here and come riding into church, don't pay a tithe, don't want to do nothing for Him, don't want to do nothing but fuss about the preaching, cuss about the church, and talk about the deacons, and then come in here and just ride the pine. And think that you, listen, God ain't pleased with that mess. And He ain't going to bless it. You're right, preacher. You're in the book. God's got a bunch that just want to jump around and sit around on God's spiritual welfare program. Let me tell you what, God don't work on the welfare program. Amen? Amen. He says, you serve me, I'll bless you. Now watch. We've seen the activity. Now I want you to look here at the account of construction as I close. Verse 12. The Lord gave Solomon wisdom, as He promised him, and there was peace between Hiram and Solomon. And they two made a league together. You know what? You and I have made a league together with Jesus. It's called His blood, and it's bonded us. It caused peace. When I was at variance with Him, and a sinner, and holding hands with the devil, I said, peace came to my troubled soul and salvation, and me and Him are supposed to be tight. He sticks up for me. Yep. You talk about me all you want to, but my big brother is watching over me. You better look out for him. He'll hurt you. He hurt you bad. Verse 13, this construction, King Solomon raised a levy. That's a labor force. How many workers has he got? He raised a levy out of all Israel, and the levy was 30,000 men. What about that? And he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month by courses. A month they were in Lebanon, and 2 months at home. And Adoniram was over the levy. I remember Adoniram, he was the chief executive over the tax part in Solomon's cabinet. Did you get that? Every 3 months, you're working for him. You work 1 month, 30 days on, and 60 days off. Help my time? Can you believe that Solomon would do and the house of God got built? And everybody was happy. 30 days on and 60 days off. Some of us want no days on and 90 days off. He said, I'm offering you 30 days on and 60 days off. It ain't good enough. I don't want to do nothing, but I want full support. You see, we always think we need to negotiate and get better. I mean, you don't, glory to God, you're the worst in the world about a car. You want to go up there and talk about the price of the car, get the price of the car down, think you've done pretty good, come home feeling good about yourself, and you go tell your friends, and when you told your friend, you knocked another $900 off the price that you really paid for it. Just to make everybody else think you got such a deal. I'm the master negotiator.
Oh man, I can chew them down. I'm a slick Willie. I'm slick. Man, they didn't know who they're messing with. What a negotiator I am. Let me tell you what. God said, this is the way it is. I just want help. Is this on? You're looking at me funny like, preacher, you didn't need to get into that mess. That's a lie if you're doing that. You told a lie. Well, preacher, I did. I paid $15.9, but I told my friends I paid $15. What's $900 more? It's still $15. What's $900? Everybody wants to negotiate with God. And you may not negotiate. Listen, your negotiation won't work out. You want more of Him? Will you take less? God be the more? Huh? Read on. He got 30,000 there, 2 months off, 1 month on. And Solomon had 70,000. Let's see, that'd be 70,000 that bear burdens. And 80,000 hewers in the mountain. That's 80,000 more. That's 150,000 right there in that verse. Beside the chief of Solomon's officers, which were over the work, 3,300, which ruled over the people that wrought in the work. And the king commanded. You need to read 2 Chronicles chapter 2. And chapter, you need to read that. Boy, what a blessing that was to me. And the king commanded, they brought great stones. And Jesus is the chief cornerstone, right? Brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. Well, preacher, what does it matter? They lay the foundation of the house, ain't nobody going to see it. Well, God sees it all. He sees inside out. He knows you'll never lay on a more sure foundation than Jesus Christ. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them and the stone squares, so they prepared timber and stones to build the house. I said last week, I wasn't getting it, but I get it now. I said last week, I stood right there, Wednesday night. I said, God's doing a work in our church. He's doing a work in my life, although you may not know it. He's doing a work in your life. And as I said that, next thing I know, some of y'all just start jumping up. Boom, boom, boom. And you start bragging on what God is doing and telling this and telling that and how God was blessing. And it became very apparent to me, God is working. We said it 4, 5, 7, 8 times. Like we played tape back if we need to. God's working in our lives. He's working. Man alive, y'all got in that choir, bless my socks off. Hallelujah, that blessed me to death. God's doing the work. Now hear me. Go here with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. I'm closing right here, I promise. And we realize that if God's building in this house, His church, I'm not talking about this building, I'm talking about His people, God don't use second-rate material. Somehow He had that same, He said that last week and I didn't get it, but I'm starting to get it. He don't use second-rate material or third-rate material. He don't use cold stuff or stuff. Well, this is, it's a little bowed, but I believe it'll be all right. It's not what He does. He saves you and gets rid of all that stuff and makes you a new creature, first-rate material, and begins to work putting together His church. And we're being fitly framed together. Are you with me? But then I got to thinking. He started working on my heart. He's building in this church. He's working in individuals' lives. But He's building in heaven too. There's a building program going on right now. And He gave us the plans. He's laid them out. We don't understand it all. We can't envision it all. It's so glorious. But He still, I like to read about it. The devil gets mad about it, but I want to read it to him. Chapter 21, verse 10. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was likened to stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high and 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels and names written on, which are the names of the 12 tribes, the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. On the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square. Hey, what is the pattern for the city? Let me tell you how big it is. This is where we're going to live. It's His home. The length is as large as the breadth. And He measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. It's cubed. Are you with me? You with me? That means that it's 1,500 miles wide. One city. I'm not talking about countryside from here to there. I'm talking about one city. 1,500 miles wide. 1,500 miles that way too. And 1,500 miles that. And these levels on it. Now 1,500 miles is like from the east coast of North Carolina, which is, how far is that? Some of y'all went to the east coast. How far is that away? 6-7 miles away? From there to Denver. One city. That way, and that way. That's where we're going. They thought they was building on earth something glorious for God. Hey, He couldn't be contained in that house. No more He's going to be contained in the heaven of the heavens. Read on with me. I get excited. He measured the wall thereof, of our city, 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is, of the angel. Now get this. According to the measure of a man, okay, or of the angel, a cubit is about 18 inches. You do the math. You take 144 cubits times 18 divided by 12, 12 inches in a foot. 216 feet. The wall is 216 feet. Thick, high, glory to God. Can you imagine a wall of a city that's 216 feet thick, high? Glory to God, what a place. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like in the glass. A city of gold, 1,500 miles cubed. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second a sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprase, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Had the churches the pearl of great price. And every several gate was of one pearl. Can you imagine? I'm telling you what, I went to that restaurant there and I opened up and I found me a little old pearl and I went, woo, look what I found. I found me a pearl in here and it was about that big. Can you imagine walls 216 feet? Can you imagine how big the walls are? And at one gate is a pearl. Ooh, that's where we're going. George Vanderbilt, my foot. He ain't got nothing built more house. Hey, man, on where we're going to go. Look here. He said, and the street of the city was pure gold. Didn't say streets. I had a dream one time. I seen my grandpa Troy in my dream. He's been dead since back there in the early 1970s. I had a dream. He's in heaven. He's talking with me. I said, when I get there, Grandpa, I'm going to look you up. He said, I'll find you, son. I'll find you. I said, Grandpa, where do you live? He said, I live on Love Street. I don't know if that's the name of it or not, but it's just one street. To a city 1,500 miles cubed. Might as well be Jesus Street. He's love. That's where we're going. And I'm going to see Grandpa again. I'm going to see some of them old preachers gone on before us. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and I saw, you with me? No temple therein. There was Solomon building this big temple for God, but when we get to heaven, there's no temple there. Why? For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. He said, ooh, we just going to have fellowship, me and you. You bow at my feet. Look at me face to face. I'm going to hug you. Walk you around and say, I don't know how it's all going to work out, y'all. But, woo, glory to God. That excites me to death. No temple there because the Lamb and the Lord God Almighty is the temple there. Don't need all these church buildings every which way. We're just going to be right with Jesus. The city had no need of the sun. You know, we needed that sunshine today. It got up around 6 this morning on our side of the earth. And right now, look outside. It's still sunlight right now.
If that sunlight wasn't there, it sure would have been dark today. And if that sunlight wouldn't have been there, it sure would have been cold today. But when we get to heaven, there ain't going to be no S-U-N. No sun. Neither of the moon. You know, I looked at the full moon last night. I was thinking about this message, looking at the full moon. I thought, look how much light that moon's given us at nighttime. We don't have to be totally in the dark. When we get to heaven, there's no sun. When we get to heaven, there's no moon to shine in it. What are we going to do? Progress energy? Nope. Duke Power? No. Them boys could never light up a city that big. They don't stand a chance. What's this? Bible says, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Who? Hallelujah. And the nations, let's jump down here, verse 22. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. A pure river. What about that? And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. 12 kind of fruit on one tree. God said, it's there. All the botanists said, that can't be done. My Bible says it can. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. I guess not, because the glory of God is going to light the city, and the glory of God is never going to fade out. It'll never fade. It'll never go out. The Bible says there's no night there. Need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. He saith unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. And I got to thinking, I know I'm long preaching tonight, but He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. I got a mansion over there. In fact, I can't let this go either. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I don't think that's just talking about the mansion you're going to live in. No, that's not just the street of gold and the walls 216 feet and the city's 1,500 miles cubed, squared, whatever. You hear what I'm telling you? That Bob right there says that this old tabernacle I'm living in right here is going to be dissolved. But I've got a build not made with hands. I'm going to have a new body.
Amen.
This old body gets tired. I can't sit up real late at night. I can't go a long time. I get tired. I want to lay down. The other night, Sunday night, boy, I was sick. I was feeble. One day I'll never feel that way again. Woo! Thank God for a place that the devil can't get to. No more cancer. No more burn victims. No more crippled children. No more folks hobbling around because their arms or their legs has been cut off. Glory to God, no more sin. Hallelujah. What a place it's going to be. And my Savior's there. My loved ones are there. My name is there. I've got a new body there. It's waiting on me now. And one of these days, y'all, reality's going to set in. This ain't just some pipe dream we're smoking. This ain't just some fantasy life we're trying to live. That just as sure as Solomon and all his builders built God a house, God's building me one. And I'm on my way. Praise the Lord, I'm on my way. You stand at your feet tonight.
I wonder.
The Bible says we're going to have rewards in heaven. Crowns are going to be given out. We're going to be rewarded for deeds that we've done here, for the works that we've performed. It's almost like by us serving Jesus here faithfully, we're sending up material. He won't accept no second-rate stuff. Your third-rate faithfulness don't count. He wants genuine earnestness. He says in Matthew 6, this is what you're worried about right here tonight. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Sir, you got that gun collection. If somebody got that, you'd be tore out of the frame. I'm trying to put all that money in the bank. Everybody's worried about the banks are going to fail. Talked to a man today. Said, man, they've been talking at the bank. Said, they've been talking to people all day long today. People coming in. Said, is FDIC really insured? Are we really going to be all right if the bank goes down? You see, everybody's laying up for themselves treasures on earth. Don't you get on my property, I'll shoot you. Don't let you let your dog run across my yard. I'll be mad. I'll be upset. He says, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I can tell a lot about our church by the way we give. I can about watch an offering and tell whether your heart's really in this thing or not. Where your treasure is, or where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. You can reverse that any way you want to. I can tell. I hope you love the house of God. You're like David putting back for the house of God. But I wonder, as you're giving things to the house of God here, do you realize that the banks somehow don't get it? We take what you give, we deposit in the bank, God gets it, just spreads it in glory, and lays up rewards and treasures just all over the place. We don't see that part of it. Y'all, what kind of material are you sending up? You bow your head tonight. Lord, I'm persuaded